Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
For his 4 years here was a number one role. So we have not filled a number one role. I would say we have a group of guys as we sit here today that we believe bring different skill sets. We like the group. Would we like to add to it at some point? Yes. I'm not sitting here thinking we have a glaring hole. But I get the question. I get the perception. You know, sometimes you have young guys on your roster that you believe in as well that can ascend, but they have to prove it too. You know, just like last year we were getting the question about linebacker. Terrell Bernard had to prove it. You know, even Tyrell Dodson in his form when he played for us had to go prove it because he'd mainly been, you know, a backup, you know, prior to that. Yeah, I mean, more than last year, but not 28.
And in follow up on that, you traded up to Latin several times in the first round. You're at 28. When did you start applying? Is it 15, 16, 17, somewhere in there?
Yeah, good question. You know, I'll take any call, Ryan. you know me. Next week, you know, the phones start ringing all over the place. You know, teams that want to bail out of, you know, I don't know if teams in the top 10 are calling us. I wouldn't expect that. But teams in the teens will start calling because maybe they got their eye on a couple guys, and if they don't get those, they would soon add something maybe, depending on what's on the board. We'll assess them all, have conversations, see who's on the board when their picks come up. And we'll be doing the same. We'll also be looking the other way. If we did not draft Dalton last year, I think I told you, we had some options to go back, and one that I really liked that would have put us into the second round that would have added, I thought was you know, good asset, you know, to do that. So we'll do both ways. I think that's the best way. Prepare for every scenario. We'll go through next week with the scouts the various scenarios that could happen and just play the board. You know, Dalton was so close to us, and I really thought he was a good weapon for this offense. And it's one of those, right or wrong, I probably deserve criticism for trading up sometimes. I get that, but if there's a guy I like and I'm confident, I want to go to bed Thursday night that I got him. And if that happens again, I could do it. You know, I can't really tell you whether we go up, go back, or draft at 28. I have no idea how it's going to fall.
Brandon, you said that teams in the top 10 aren't likely going to call you, but that doesn't preclude you from calling them, correct?
Yeah, there's no rule. I can call all the way to 1, John. Think they'll take my call? I haven't called him. Yeah.
Brandon, is there a value? How is the value put on future picks? Like, if you were to trade the second round pick, you know it's 60, so there's value.
Yeah.
You and other teams, is there a general way that's looked at if you were doing anything, either obtaining picks or trading picks in the future?
Yeah, I mean, That's a good question, too. I would say you're generally going to say it's, you know, you're looking at what team it is. So, but if you're not sure if this team is a perennial playoff team, you're probably you're going to back it up a round. So if you wanted, like this year, let's say you wanted to trade, take our second round pick out of the way. Say we made our first, it's in the second round, and we wanted a pick. Somebody's going to make us trade next year's one to do that. It's going to be a round difference. And that's where you'd have to decide, you know, and if you're accepting someone's pick, if we're, you know, if we're in the third round this year and someone offered, we don't have a third, but just pretend we had a third, and someone offered us next year's two, part of what I may be thinking about is what kind of team, is this a perennial playoff team? Is it not? All those things. But in general, you're going to move it around up. Yeah, I mean, they're all assets. They really are. You know, no matter what year you have them, you're allowed to trade, you know, picks 20 in 24, 25, and 26. Can't go beyond that at this point. So any of those that we acquire are always assets. And, again, the main thing, you know, and our board's pretty well set. You know, there's still some conversations. We got to go through some mocks, which could tweak a guy here or there. But you know, you're just kind of reading the board, and if there's guys sticking out and you want to use an asset to go get it, you do it. But you know, I wouldn't say, hey, we're definitely going to trade the number two pick that we acquired. I wouldn't expect that, but I'm not saying we wouldn't either. I mean, I'm never going to say no. I don't love trading future ones. You know, if you go back to when I got here, what we were trying to do, knowing that we were most likely going to be in the quarterback market if we found the right guy, was creating assets to not have to trade the next year's one. And so if it makes sense, John, I'll do it. But I don't love it. I just know that there were times in Carolina in some of my younger years where we did trade it, and I felt more times we were disappointed later that we did it. Like it, that player we got didn't put us all the way at the top. And then you get to the next year's draft, and you're going, we would have been picking 17th. And you go, look who we just could have had. And so it's easy today to put it on the credit card and say, don't worry about next year's one. But I, you know, hopefully I'm still sitting here. I know how tough that is to do that. But listen, we did it for Stephon Diggs when we traded for him and set through that. If there's something that makes too much sense, heck yeah. Yeah, I mean, it there is depth. There's a lot of different style receivers from size, speed, quicks. Some have better hands. Some are not great rack. They got good hands, but you're probably not getting much. Some other ones maybe have less size, but if you can get the ball in their hands, they kind of turn into a little bit of a running back. So there's a lot of different. You know, one of the things that people don't always know the full details on, though, is what are their mentals? What are their smarts? What are their habits? And those playing big, and our coaches and our scouts have really worked hard, you know, the scouts for a while, but the coaches have really jumped in now trying to quiz these guys either at their pro days, at privates, Zooms. Obviously, you've seen some of the names we've had in here. We have tried to go through that, and some have really tested out well. This guy, he's going to pick it up, and there's some others that we have some concerns about. And then there's medical. You know, we just had the medical meeting, and so like every year, there's guys that pop up, and buyer beware. That you know, doesn't mean you can't take them, but you may choose a player that someone else, you know, from a scouting stance, maybe a little less than this guy, but this guy's a lot healthier than this player. Not a huge difference, but all those factors can happen when you turn the card in and make that final decision that we're not going to walk down here and share. And you say, well, why didn't you choose this guy or this guy? I'm not going to, you know, just those are some of the things that you don't know. I know there's a lot of stuff out there. Highlights are posted of guys, man, this would be great to have this guy. But that's not the whole picture.
You said about wide receiver, if any, would Josh have, if you have a wide receiver in mind that you're looking at, and maybe go to him and say, how would you fit with this guy? Have you watched him at all? If you do that at all, man, can't he be a part of any meetings on a top 30 visit?
He can, you know, if he's here, you know, like this week, yeah, I mean, he just got here this week, but I'm not sure if he met any of the guys or not, Sal, to be honest with you. But, yeah, he could do that. Josh loves the draft. Like, he loves the process. I mean, I think a lot of people do. It's made, you know, all these the mock simulators and all that stuff, and he loves that stuff. And so he loves to watch, you know. Now, some of the stuff he may be watching is highlights. Some of it's maybe cut-ups too. But, yeah, we, you know, he'll ask about, you like this guy or this guy? And he may go watch, you know, and throw his 2 cents in. He hasn't done the extensive work that we have, but I love that he loves it and likes to hear how we see things. I have talked to him since trading Steph. Yeah, he's talked to him this week. You know, we talked on the phone at some point after we traded Steph that week, and then hadn't really, you know, I think he went down to the Masters last week. Haven't really spoke to him much since then. But, yeah, he's been in the building. He swung by my office, saw him upstairs in the offensive staff room yesterday, and same old guy. He's doing well and excited about the team, and it's good to see him back. He's I think he's excited about where we're at, and obviously knowing the draft's coming up, like to Sal's question, ask, you know, what are the guys you like? I see all these names. Who do you guys like?
You said with wide receiver you haven't necessarily filled that number one wide receiver role. How much of a priority is that? Like, you look at some of the young offenses around the league, Houston, Green Bay, don't really necessarily have a bona fide number one, kind of spread it around, have some young talent they found day two, day three. Is that something that you definitely need in 2024?
No. I mean, listen, you'd love to have two guys out there that are number ones. You know what I mean? Or, like, you're always going to try to find the best players you can. No, what you need are guys that, in this offense, that are smart, versatile, selfless, and can make the plays that their skill set allows them to make. And if it's a tall guy that's going to, you know, Josh is going to throw up a 50-50 ball, he's got to come down with it. If it's a guy that we want to get the ball in his hands, and when we need some rack, he's going to do that. I think that's what we're looking for. You know, if there's a one that pops up either in, you know, free agency or draft that makes sense for us, or really good too, you know, we'll do it. But I don't think having a one or not having a one, Matt, doesn't mean we can't have success, you know, on offense or as a team.
Randy, along that line, was it more important in, as you reflect back to trading for Steph, was it more important for the offensive development to have a number one at that time as opposed to now, what Josh's capabilities are?
Yeah, I think Josh was I think he's still ascending, but I think there was more ascension that we were hoping to continue to see from him. I mean, he was, you know, coming from rookie second year. You know, we go losing Houston, and you know that year we had added in 19 year two for Josh. We had added Cole and John Brown, who really, really helped our offense. But as the season went along and people saw how we were using them, I did feel like we needed someone else to offset what they were doing, because they were starting to try to figure out how to try to take them away. And I think that happened in that Houston game where we settled for field goals. You know, yes, we blew a lead, but I thought that game, if we could have got touchdowns in the first half, could have been over. And we let up a team, you know, that was more experienced than we were, hang around. And so that was the impetus. What else can we get? I, you know, called on receivers, including Seth that year, but they weren't willing to trade him. And, you know, at that point, Steph was available and thought that's what the offense needed at the time. But I do think, to your point, I think I get where you're at, John, as you're saying, now that Josh is ascended to the player he is that a requirement? I don't think so. Yeah, they've been great. I mean, two guys full of energy, loving the process. I mean, not all coaches love this process. They just want to get their playbook installed. Players are kind of – these two guys, they're in my office asking questions, asking for more guys. How do we do this? And so, you know, as we close in on the process, I'm going to continue. And I'll give them some assignments. Hey, sit with your position coach or your staff and look at these two guys or these three guys. We got them kind of similar. How do you guys see them? And then tell me how you would use them. And make sure we have them in the right order to how you're seeing them. But we've had a lot of conversations. They've obviously been very involved. Joe went out on the road some too to see some guys, you know, from private standpoints, different positions. And he loved it, loves that process. So it's been fun, you know, the first off season working with both these guys in their new roles.
You said goodbye to a lot of better players. Do you think that there is – your team already is younger. Is there more opportunity if you make the right picks for a bunch of guys to make this team?
I do. I think there's – I think – you know, like anything, change is not always bad. Change can be hard when you've had the stability we've had at some of the positions. And a lot of those guys, you know, were captains. So is that uneasy? Yeah, it is. But sometimes your team has to evolve. It's probably the best word I can do it. And we do feel there are some guys currently on the roster that can ascend into some leadership roles. Is it going to be where, you know, the guys that left off? No, but hopefully we can grow them, and that's part of the development of our organization. And then, yeah, in this draft, you know, what pieces can we add to come in and either, you know, start – it's hard to start for a rookie, but start or be a key backup, help us on teams, and be a guy that we're going to count on, you know, for sure in the future. And so, yeah, I think there's a lot of great opportunities, and I'm excited about where we're at, and I'm excited about the draft next week.
Brandon, does that influence your thinking at all, maybe in the sense of, you know, in the past years, 6th and 7th round picks, you weren't making the team, and we're going other places playing for other teams, mm-hmm. claimed off of waivers. Knowing that maybe they have a bit better of a chance to make the roster this year, would that maybe influence how you consider, you know, trading up and
Yeah, it does, Jay. I mean, I think you never know how it's going to fall exactly. Like, who's – you wish you had that crystal ball to say, all right, do I want to give this 5th round pick away? Well, tell me who's going to be there in the 5th. You never have that. So you do hope the board falls favorably for you to land some of the guys that we've been able to, you know, Shakir or whoever else that you know, fortunately fell to the 5th. So you do have to keep that in mind. And I do think to your point, we have, you know, some of the guys, I know both the seventh rounders got claimed last year. We've had some guys that we've drafted and hoped if they didn't make it, we could get them to a practice squad that didn't. I do think those guys may have a better chance this year if we select them. Yeah, I mean, in fairness to Josh, like he's, you remember what I said as far as he doesn't know the medical, he doesn't know how smart they are per se. Now, he could probably ask a coach, you know, it's more like the different skill sets, you know, how would this guy, if we took this guy, how would he fit in the offense? Where would you put him? Would you line him up at X? Could he play F and Z, then what would you do if he went inside? Who would you move outside? Some of those conversations. I think Josh is not trying to be, you know, overstep and say something without having all the – he just doesn't have all the answers to do that. But love his input, love his excitement for sure. And I'd be stupid to not include him and let him kind of see what some of these guys – and like I said, he was watching film last year. I know he's already been watching film this year, some of these guys, since he's been in here this week.
I'm the subject of sub-package edge rushers. So you demand your defensive ends set the edge.
Mm-hmm.
You keep five guys at defensive ends, active sometimes only four. A Bryce Huff type day three guy. My impression is there isn't a lot of room on your board for a smaller edge rusher who you are never going to want on the field on first down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think that depends on how many we would keep on the 53. So, you got to be careful how many DPRs that you put. But if the talent's there, Mark, we'd still take it and figure it out. You know, we've had at least 1 year, maybe two, where we've kept six ends. Now that player better help us on fourth down. On special teams, like he better wear multiple hats. But it could also be a guy that maybe you don't count on him right away unless you have injury, but you've got him in, you know, in the bullpen ready to roll. If he can rush the passer, we know how important it's a passer league. I'm not sure just going to pass him up and say, well, it's not a good fit this year because maybe.
So there's some guys on the board.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, you've done some work in free agency the last couple of years in May to June. But entering this draft with your defensive line, edge and or defensive tackle, how much priority is there in this draft to add somebody that can contribute as early as next season?
Would love to. I mean, I think there are guys in the draft that can do that. They can come in and maybe they're not day one starters where we're picking. If we took one in the first, we'd have to see what's there. Or if we took one later, I do think there's players though in more than just the first round that can come in either as a DT or a DN and help us in the rotation. And, you know, we rotate our guys a lot anyway, so I don't get too caught up in, you know, whether he's a starter or not. We run 8-9 deep on game day as it is. Yeah, a veteran player, obviously missed a year. He had a late ACL. I think he got his right before the playoffs in I think it was late, maybe early January of that year, the previous season, just where his rehab was. You know, he wasn't healthy. Remember, we worked him out, and he ended up signing with Dallas's practice squad. But he's a veteran. He's played tackle guard. And I would think he would come in and you know, provide some depth at right tackle at least, and then also interior, you know, I think, you know, wherever we need depth, competition. So I would say right tackle and then, you know, guard.
How might the depth of next year's draft impact some decisions that you make this year?
You know, it's I'm not too worried about next year's the depth of the draft. Is so hard to tell with NIL. You know, there's you know, there's guys that we thought this year would come out, but the schools are really coming up with some pretty good money to keep these, you know, these kids, giving them $600-700 guaranteed, you know, for guys that like that, you know, that guarantee, I got this, I don't have to go compete for this, it's mine. So we are seeing a changing landscape from that standpoint. There's definitely, the last couple of years, guys that we had pegged that even some of the schools thought they would probably lose. So, you know, this was a light underclassman, you know, draft, and there's going to be more guys, but there are guys that have stayed in the COVID, that stayed and played 5 years, that are going to, there's going to be some guys with more age on them that are still going to get drafted probably later in the, not that there won't be some early, but there's definitely a lot of 23, 24, maybe even 25-year-olds that are getting drafted because of COVID plus NIL. So not too crazy worried about next year's draft. It'll be fine. It's just really focused on the positions that we need to get answered between now and September, whether it's this draft or free agency afterwards, and then making sure we have depth in all the right spots. 30.
And then as a follow-up to that, how often is the guy coming here and so impressive, really move him up the board?
Yeah, there's some guys that maybe we had conflicting reports about the learns or the personality that we wanted to get around or verify. So, I mean, there's not a lot of those, but there are some that you're – and maybe it's – maybe it's breaking a tie. I got a couple of guys here. I know maybe they're like this. I'm just making up a round in the second round. And I already know this guy can learn, and they've got the same skill set, but this one I'm unsure of. I get this guy in here, and I'm like, yeah, he's not quite the same learner. Maybe if the draft falls and they're both there, they're the highest on the board, I take this guy. If not, as long as I'm still comfortable that it's above the bar learning now. Sometimes you bring a guy in here and you're just like, this guy's going to mentally struggle to play the position that we would need him to play, and we can't take him in the second round. We need to drop him some, but he's going to be more of a project.
I know you talked about Josh and his interest, but he doesn't know everything about these young players. But he does know Steph. When you said you talked to him before the trade, I was just curious, like, that's almost like a philosophical change. He's been their number one receiver. What was his reaction when he knew that this was the possibility? And because it is a major change to a guy he's known and had a lot of success.
Yeah, I'm going to keep that between me and Josh. I get the question, but I think that's best for our conversation to keep that in. Josh understands that sometimes I'm calling him, take Steph out with decisions, you know, whether it's calling him the year we signed Mitch when he didn't really know Mitch and, you know, hey, probably won't be able to bring Matt Barkley back. Like, you know, things like that. People he's formed a relationship with, obviously has a relationship with Steph. Josh is really mature and understands that sometimes I'm calling him about things to say, how do you see it? Sometimes I'm calling him just to say, hey, this is where we're at. I don't want you to be blindsided, things like that. I'm not really going to weigh into where the conversation with Steph. I just think it needs to be kept between me and Josh, just out of respect. Sorry, Matt. Yeah, we feel good. We got good competition. Kyrie's back. I haven't really talked to him, but saw him in the hallway yesterday, day before. And Christian Benford, you know, obviously Rasul's back, and Jamarcus Ingram. So no, we've got some guys. If you just start with those four that know our system, know the expectations, and you know they'll be looking to compete. So, no, I think we got guys that can line up and that we believe in.
Brandon, any updates on the guy? We talked to him in Orlando. The door was open, but still kind of many options. Have you heard anything new since?
Yeah, I mean, I talked to Micah yesterday. It was good to see him. We FaceTimed for a little bit, living that California life that he is. But he's the best. Can't get enough of Micah Hyde. Just his energy. Like, you forget when you're away from someone, you know, but just he's got that infectious smile. He you know, some people see the world half glass empty. He sees it not half full. He sees it 100% full. And just I wish I woke up every day with the perspective he's got. He's just such a good dude. Can see everything, mature beyond most players' years. And so we had a great conversation about life and things like that. You know, I don't think he has totally made a 100% decision either way. I didn't get into him, hey, are you 95% leaning one way or the other? Didn't push it. We just checking on him. He's checking on how things. I know he talked about his softball deal. He's going to be here. He's excited to come back, you know, next month after the draft and be around the guys. And he was pumped about that. But I can't tell you if he's going to play again or not. I don't have that concrete answer.
Another Iowa kid, Cooper DeGene, one of the more interesting prospects in this draft. A lot of conversation about whether he's a safety or a corner. Mm-hmm. How do you view him, and how does that impact a player that you're evaluating when there is a little bit of work you have to do on what he's going to be and project for their club?
Yeah, really good player. You know, had a really fun career to watch his play. Yep. I think he came into Iowa originally as a safety, and then they moved him to corner. Just his talent can play it. You know, I think he's one of those guys that wherever he goes, they'll figure out the best spot for him. I could see some teams, Matt, saying maybe they got a bigger hole at safety, let's put him over there. Or, hey, this guy can, you know, we're going to pop him in a corner. He showed he could do it in college. We'll do it here. I mean, he also adds to your return game. He's a pretty good returner and good ball skills, things like that. So it was a joy to – we met him at the combine, but it was a joy to have him here. You can talk a little bit longer to him. Obviously, he was coming off the injury, so he just did his pro day last maybe Monday or so. So he's still coming from that. He didn't have a full time to train, but thought he did a good job in his pro day.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.